We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Call the meeting to order. Please rise for the pledge.
Salute the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll open public comment.
I just got two quick reminders. First, if you haven't already done so, please submit your Form 700 to the clerk, Tehama County Clerk, and make sure you list this agency on your Form 700, as you do hold a position on this agency. And the second one is a reminder that we will have our regularly scheduled full board meeting April 1st at 8:30 a.m. in this chambers. That's all board members, so please make sure that's on your calendar.
What time?
8:30.
What day? I got it.
April 1st, 8:30, right here, in those spots. That's all I've got.
Rachel, the Form 700, when's that due, last day?
April 2nd, yeah. According to the memo from the clerk. And there are penalties if you don't turn it in.
You have mine, right?
If I got it, I sent it to the clerk, yes.
I sent it to the clerk. She was supposed to send it to you.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move to the regular agenda. Notice of violation, Waymaster inspection, Rachel.
Thank you. So on February 12th, which is the holiday for the county, the CDFA, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, visited the landfill to do a Waymaster inspection. The agency holds a Waymaster certificate, a license, I'm sorry. And so he came to inspect our audit our records and ensure that we're compliant with our license. And he issued us 4 violations. All right, actually, let me back up. So we hold the license, but Waste Connections operates the scales under our license. So he issued us 4 violations. Failure to provide a complete electronic signature on their certificate. The certificate is the printout that customers at the landfill get. So the electronic signature needs to have the whole name of the person operating the scale. Failure to provide the customer's name on the certificate. Failure to provide the vehicle license number on the certificate. And failure to meet the minimum net weight. So the first 3 violations are related to our Waymaster license, and the last one is independent of our Waymaster license. The same inspector came back March 6th, and they issued Waste Connections 2 additional violations. So the first 4 were our violations. The second 2 are Waste Connections violations, which is operating the scales at the landfill without a Waymaster license, and failure again to meet the minimum net weight. So February 12th was a holiday, as I mentioned. So, and then that was also when we had that snowstorm. So I wasn't able to return to work until a couple days later. When I did, I discussed these violations both with our county sealer, who's here today, and also with the inspector that issued the violations to, and with Waste Connections, since they were here on site during the inspection, to figure out what we need to do to come into compliance with our license. At the time, the inspector and our county sealer advised that really Waste Connections should hold the license, not the agency, because essentially they're making certifications in our name. And that we need to correct the other violations as well, by they're pretty simple to correct correctly. And we need to change our minimum weight, or fees basically, so that they meet the net weight. And the net weight is calculated by taking the scale divisions, so what you go up in increments, which for us we go up in 20-pound increments, and multiplying that by 20. So our minimum fee should be based on 400 pounds, and we shouldn't be weighing any weights less than that. So as a result of these violations, a few things have happened since then. One, Waste Connections is already working on, they've already submitted their application for their own license. I am proposing to this board today that we let our license go. There's no need for us to have one. If the board chooses for us to have what they call a silent license, we would be responsible for paying the annual renewal fee, which is about $95 annually. But local governmental agencies operating solid waste facilities, which one, we're not even operating, but second, if we were, are actually exempt from Waymaster regulations. So there's no necessity for us to have the license in the first place. And the second one is that we need to look at our minimum tip fees, which I have listed here for you. These are all of the waste categories in which we charge a minimum fee for. We need to change the minimum weight that we base those minimum fees on from whatever it is. For example, for garbage, it's based on 320 pounds to make that 400 minimum for our scales. So that way it results in all of our minimum fees going up. The most significant minimum fee will be for treated wood waste because our minimum fee is based on 40 pounds. And if you recall, the reason why we accept treated wood waste is as a courtesy to the public who don't want to drive all the way to Anderson to get rid of it. So we accept small volumes from people and then we transport it to Anderson ourselves. We'd have to raise it from 40 pounds to 400 pounds. So the minimum fee will go up from $2.92 to $29.24. All other fees go up. For example, the minimum fee from garbage will go up from $10.22 to $12.78. Yard waste, $8.88 to $11.83. Carpet, $6.85 to $8.56. Those are the complete list of fees that we charge a minimum rate. Yesterday, I was at the RCRC ESJPA meeting. And I brought up this violation that we received, and everybody in the room was unaware of this violation. So they're all thankful that they can go back to their wards and evaluate what they need to do so they don't get it. But we're certainly not the only solid waste facility that does things like this. We create these minimum fees to encourage people to bring us small volumes while also covering our cost to process the small volumes, right? So while our minimum fees aren't going up much. I know other jurisdictions where their minimum fee is like $5 and they're using 20 pound division scales and their tipping fee is over $100 a ton. So it's going to go up dramatically from $5 to maybe $20 for their minimum fee. So while this is painful, it's not as painful as what other jurisdictions are going to have to face.
So Rachel, what's the compliance rate with treated wood currently? I mean, do we have any idea? We know how much treated wood is sold, and we know how much probably would be coming back to a landfill over a 10 or 20 year period. Mm-hmm. But you know what's going to happen.
In general, what happens?
People are going to burn it.
Yes, or they're going to hide it.
Or they're going to bury it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's the problem. And the other thing about treated wood, though, too, is that it's the most hazardous when you buy it. It's the least hazardous when you bring it to us. That's why we had started this program to take small volumes from people to try to encourage them to bring it to us. And we set that threshold really low for that reason. I understand what you're saying, but I don't have a solution for you, basically.
Well, I just wanted to publicly air that it doesn't seem that we're helping people comply or providing. You can buy it everywhere, but you can only dispose of it in another county.
Right, you have to dispose of it in a line cell, yes.
Are we losing a lot of money on taking care of it the way we've been doing it?
We're not losing any money. Excuse me. We're not losing any money. That tipping fee is set to cover our cost. So they wait till they have a full bin and they transport it all at once. The only regulation that applies to treated wood waste is if you don't bury it in a landfill, it is hazardous waste, so you can't keep it on site for more than 6 months. We don't have that problem. It's a pretty small bin that we have. It's covered so it doesn't get any water infiltration.
This came up, this was on the agenda for the other night's executive board meeting, this violation, and that's the reason I requested the full board be aware of this violation so that we can discuss it in depth. I have absolutely no answers as to which is the best way to go. I don't like the increases, but with what waste management people are forcing us to do, I don't see any other way around it.
Well, is it the waste measure or is it this one individual inspector?
We don't know. He's working for the state.
Hi, Rick.
I can speak a little to that. So the violations that the state inspector from Division of Measurement Standards had cited are from existing business and professions code and regulations. I was not aware, to backtrack a little bit, back in the day when we had, all of the counties had agreements with California Department of Food and Agriculture, Division of Measurement Standards, the county used to perform all of these services and do these inspections. But a few years back, we started having budget cuts. The state refused to pay the county to do these inspections. They're collecting all of the fees for Waymaster registrations for deputies and all aspects of that. So we're letting the state do all of the inspections because they're not providing us any funding to do that. The only time that my office gets involved in doing Waymaster inspections or audits is when we have complaints. The last time we were involved in a complaint was with the Sheriff's Department dealing with walnut thefts, and we found an individual that was acting as a Waymaster and buying walnuts, and he wasn't licensed. We had to bring the state in to assist us with that. So when I got the call that from Rachel, and I'm quite impressed with the laws that you've learned concerning Waymaster audits and everything associated with that, because it's very detailed. I was not aware at that time that the regulations may have changed or may have been there, and I wasn't aware of it, regarding the 20 division requirement for vehicle scales, but it's certainly on the books, and I printed it out. The only way, and I don't know if it's possible, you'd have to talk to a registered service agent, someone that repairs and sells scales, would be possibly to get a vehicle scale that has lower divisions. So decrease that from 20 pounds to 10 pounds or even 5 pounds. That may be a possibility in yours, and you can interface those on some electronic scales. I don't know the name, brand, or the model that you have, but that could be a possibility. If you wanted to do that and still meet the regulation requirement of the minimum of 200 or 20 divisions, which in that case could be lowered to 200 pounds. I'd be happy. I do know we have a list of registered service agents, and I can certainly contact them on your behalf and get you some information early next week.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, it would be interesting also if there was some electronic way to take a picture of a license plate when it drives up and take a picture of some ID that could be electronically attached to receipts so that you don't have people stopping and signing, staff writing everything down for everyone that comes through.
So we've talked about this in length because you're right, and that is completely unfeasible for us to do it in that respect. Many people don't even have license plates, and then a lot of the public, if you ask to see their license, they're going to say, heck no, you know. We don't want to encourage people not to use our facility, and so through discussions with our inspector, because, you know, this was actually a board request way long ago, and it came back to help us now, but people can see their weights inbound and outbound, so they can make the determination and approve their inbound and outbound weights at that time. And in those situations, it's basically like buying produce at the market. You're certifying that that's what you have, and you don't. In those situations, you don't need a Waymaster certificate. Where it comes into play is when one of the people who is part of the transaction isn't there. And for us, that means people, specifically commercial entities, that subscribe to hauling services, and they rent the big bins, and they arrive at our facility, and if it's overweight, our haulers charge overweight fees. So the commercial entity that's part of that transaction, they're not at the landfill when that truck arrives. So they're not part of the equation, so that's why you have to be a Waymaster. You have to be a deputy, because you're certifying that's what happened. The other thing that we have to do, so let me back up. Waste Connections is working with WasteWorks, which is the company that provides the software in the scale house. This is a widely used software company for scale houses at landfills, to see if they're willing to include a feature where you can select who gets a Waymaster certificate and who gets a receipt. So if you see our receipts at the bottom, it says, I'm a Waymaster, I certify this is true and correct, whatever that language is. You take that off, and suddenly it's not a Waymaster certificate anymore, and those first three violations on here don't matter. It's just a receipt, it's like anything else. When that truck comes in, then the scale house attendant, or the Waymaster deputy, who's going to be the same person, says, yes, this one needs a Waymaster certificate. We issue it for that person. We know all the license plate numbers because usually those commercial vehicles are legal. The haulers are employees of companies that will provide us their information. And it's a much fewer volume of customers at the landfill than if we did it for every single John person coming in to bring us their yard waste, you know? So that's how we're going, that's our idea to resolve the first portion. On site, we, as you know, we do charge special handling fees for things like tires, appliances, and things like that. If those things come in on our load and the people working either at the landfill or on the south haul pad see those, they also need to be a deputy to relay to the scale house deputy and say, hey, those people have an extra charge, you charge them. So they have to also be deputized. And we're working on that too. It was a lot more complicated than we ever really thought it was going to be.
How much time do we have to correct?
They didn't give us a time frame. Originally, the inspector had told me, I had explained to him that making these policy decisions and changing the minimum tipping fee takes approval from all of you. I can't do it. And it can't be done through the executive committee. And so I said my preference is to always make sure, I try to get everything on the regularly scheduled board meetings because you guys are busy people. And I told him the next one was April 1st. He indicated to me, that's fine. It's been like this for a long time. A little bit longer won't matter. But he's issued us more violations. Not us, but the same violation, rather. He issued waste connections, the same violation. So obviously, something that needs to be fixed because with any non-compliance with any regulatory issues, eventually it stops becoming, no fees attached to becoming fees attached, you know, where you'll be penalized. So we want to get it fixed now.
So when is that time when we would be penalized?
He didn't indicate. I don't know.
Rachel, in the meantime, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm under the impression that they're not looking at being heavy-handed in issuing any penalties. Whenever any state agency comes in for programs that I'm associated with, I ask for them to let us know when they're coming into the county to do these activities. So the last time that he was in the county did the follow-up inspection of waste connections and also visited other businesses, I sent out one of my inspectors to assist him in being trained. So in the past, when we had the program, and I believe the state's still operating under these premises, that we request a reasonable amount of time, whatever it's needed to correct that problem. So then that's the feeling that I've got from the state that doing this as well. They haven't indicated to me otherwise at all. And then again, just to add on a little bit of what Rachel's been describing here, as long as that the customers can view the transaction, which you have a scoreboard out there so people can pull on it, just like going to the grocery store. That's the reason you don't need a Waymaster certificate at the grocery store, because the customer's able to read that transaction. It's just going to be very, very minor. The description as far as weighing commercial scales, when you need a Waymaster certificate, when there's a payment's dependent upon a written statement, very similar to the truck stops where they have CAT scales, they actually will issue Waymaster certificates. They will issue certificates for people that need to go down to DMV to license their car, because you need the weight. It's not a Waymaster certificate, but they need something that's unofficial. And it's very easy to do through software. But it's unfortunately, because the state's doing the program, people don't see inspectors that often, and it comes as a surprise sometimes.
How is it issued? Is it a computer issued certificate or receipt?
Right now, yes, it is. I wish I had a copy of one. It looks exactly like a receipt. Tells you, you know, the name of our facility, who's operating the scale. Before this violation, it just had the first name, last initial. We do that a lot because of privacy of our inspections employees. It doesn't say that anymore. It says first name, last name. It says, you know, Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill, owned by the City of Red Bluff County Tehama, operated by Waste Connections. And then it tells you what your inbound weight was, what your outbound weight was, if you had any special. It's very much like what you would expect to see. And at the bottom, it just has the certification clause that makes it a Waymaster certificate. Like I said, removal of that clause removes 99% of our problems, because then we can issue just receipts to all of our normal customers. And then my understanding, and again, I'll unfortunately work for you, but is that the Waymaster certificate can be handwritten or it can be printed out of the computer. It just has to meet certain requirements. So we're not wanting to handwrite it. That's why we're trying to get the software to be to accommodate our needs. This is certainly not going to be the only site that is faced with this. And I know a lot of landfills use this software, so this could, it would be in the benefit of WasteWorks to make this software change.
My question, Rachel, is does every load have to, I mean, if we did it without having a Waymaster certificate, would we have to go to the 400 pound minimum? We would.
It's completely separate from being a Waymaster. And Waste Connections is required to be obtain their Waymaster license from their follow-up inspection.
Well, what I'm concerned about, and I'm looking at the yard waste, carpet and garbage are not really significant,
right.
But I mean, the treated wood just jumps out at you. You know, if I go out into my backyard and I tear down my fence and I have 30 posts that are treated wood, and I want to haul them to the landfill, you know, they weigh 100 pounds total or whatever the weight is on them. Now I got to pay for 400 pounds of it.
Yes.
There's not a possibility that we could have somebody there that had that vehicle that had that load wouldn't have to go over the scales and we could charge a minimum fee for something like that?
You know, I can't speak to Waymaster regulations, but I can speak to Cal Recycle regulations and know you have to weigh it. We have to record anything arriving at our facility and leaving our facility for disposal reporting.
Well, I can see a lot of treated wood being burnt. I can also see a lot of treated wood being dumped along the side of the road.
I agree 100%, and this is a really difficult position to be in. The only other thing you could possibly do is cease acceptance of treated wood, but I think that's not going to alleviate your problem because people are still going to want to do those exact same things rather than drive to Anderson.
What do we do with a combined load? Somebody comes in and is remodeling a house or whatever, and they're replacing a fence, and they're replacing a bunch of sheetrock, and they've got construction waste, and they throw it all in the same trailer and bring it in. What do we do with that?
With any other type of waste, we call that mixed waste. Okay. And then you can easily meet your minimum weight threshold because you don't have to separate it all out. With the Department of Toxic Substances Control requires us to to account for treated wood waste completely separately because it is a hazardous waste. So you couldn't count, I believe, I'm assuming because we have to do that, we have to remove it from the load and record it separately that it would have to meet its own minimums because it has the same minimum scale threshold.
Yeah, but I've got a 7x14 dump trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I bring in a load of treated wood, it's going to cost me $146 a ton. But if I bring it in as a mixed load and I dump it at the MRF all at one time, it's going to cost me $63.89.
I hear what you're saying. We encourage people, we're not always successful, to comply by the laws and regulations in which we are bound. We can't force people to do them. We tell them that they'll have to weigh the treated wood waste separately so we can report it separately. We do find it in people's loads and we pull it out as part of our load check program.
Question, Rachel, for a stopgap to buy us some time while Amanda and Rick are doing research on software and scale capabilities, could we implement the 400 pounds and then 4 months, 6 months from now, when Rick has found the software to reduce it down to 5 and 10 pounds, and Amanda has found the software that issues the two types of receipts, could we revisit this and then lower our fees?
Absolutely, yes.
I'd like to move that's what we do.
But we can modify today's action for 6 months with review, automatically.
Is 6 months enough time, or is that too long?
I don't believe it's too long. We could always revisit this when we approve. Actually, I don't want to put words in their mouths, but you know, we approve our tipping fees in June, and that could be part of the approval. Do you think June would be enough time to do that research?
Are you using North? Do you know who your third company?
Ian.
Okay. No, I can call the company they're using now, and I'd have an answer for you as soon as I talk to them on the phone, if your system's capable of being reprogrammed, or if they can, there's load cells that are capable of needing to do what you need to do from reducing it from 20 pounds to 10 pounds. And he can give me or you the answer to that as soon as I talk to him on the phone.
So is that something we could take a recess for and know today, or do you want to do something?
No, I think what we do is bring it back on the first. We're only a week out.
Yes.
Okay. That, would that alleviate us of the 400-pound minimum?
Yes.
We did that?
Yeah, I actually printed off that regulation. So yes, it did. So the this is not a weighmaster requirement. This is a vehicle scale requirement. So the minimum load on a vehicle scale, except for weighments of ferrous metals, cardboard, paper, rags, or plastic, and the weighing of vehicles for registration purposes, a vehicle scale shall not be used for weighing net loads less than the value of 20 scale divisions. So if you're able to reprogram or get loads, obtain load cells with the digital readout that are capable of being programmed to 10 pound divisions, then your minimum weight load would be 200 pounds.
Okay. And would it be dropped to 100 pounds and 5 pounds?
Correct.
Okay. Then that would be the optimal.
Well, I'll withdraw my motion, and we can maybe visit it on a regular agenda if we can have it.
Well, yeah, the regular meeting is on the first, and she can put it on our regular agenda with the updated information from all the players, because that's my opinion.
So you're suggesting we make no changes at this point, that we carry it over to a regular meeting?
Yeah, it gives us a week or 10 days for them to do the research, and we can make a determination at that time. But I just wanted, this was a big enough item that I didn't want it to wait till the first. As the other night at the executive meeting, I said, this needs to come now so that we can get it. But Bert and I had talked about it last Tuesday when we seen the agenda, that there was an issue there that we needed to address.
I agree with you. My initial thought to hold it until April 1st was based on my conversation with the inspector saying that it would be fine to hold it until April 1st. But I agree that it is something we need to address.
Do I need a motion to table it, or?
No, okay. You could direct staff to do what we're going to do.
So moved. Second.
Motion by, motion by, was that?
Director
Williams. Okay, Director Williams, second by
Garden.
Okay.
To direct staff to bring information back at the April 1st meeting.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carries.
What about approval to not renew the agency waymaster license?
Yeah, there's no need for it, so I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Under discussion, I just want to make a point tonight. This is not a reflection with Waste Connections, but this is my experience with previous operators. I would be opposed to any action that we would take that would delete any ability to keep track of what weight loads come in, where you don't have a certified weight for every load. Now, previous operators brought in loads without any detection or any weight or anything else. Really filled them out of the way. Like I said, no reflection of Waste Connection, just previous experience.
Okay.
Any certification, illegal any certification, I would oppose.
Okay. So are you wanting to have all loads be certified then?
I would.
Okay.
Unless there's a way we can keep an accurate record of every load that comes across those scales.
Well, we do that already, and we're required two for CalRecycle, for as part as disposal reporting.
Well, it has to be a certification or some recording that's not done by without our operations doing it. I just I'm sorry, I just don't trust our operators.
Okay.
So if there were a certification dispute and we were not certified, how would we deal with that?
Well, the circumstance of not of either them or us not being certified is on the table. We're not required to be certified. If they, and they are, they've applied to for their license. Mm-hmm. And if they have, if somebody has a dispute, they would, I believe, contact our county sealer's office and they would investigate the dispute.
When you issue a receipt, isn't that also recorded into the computer system?
Yes.
If somebody came back in with a dispute with that receipt, whether it says it was issued by a certified waymaster or not at the bottom, you can still mediate the receipt, correct?
I believe so, because our scales are sealed by the county sealer for outlet.
I'm not real clear on the exact question, but...
Well, I think Bert was wanting to keep track of receipt or weights that weren't recorded by the waymaster, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And, but if the receipt that's issued at the time, whether it says waymaster at the bottom or not, that weigh is recorded into the computer, correct? And stays in there.
In the same method that the certified load is. Okay. So there's
just
no difference.
The same way,
no, it just, it doesn't, we, how we're reporting what's coming in and what's going out is not going to change between certified and not. It's just who gets that second receipt that says this is a certified weight, basically.
Okay, that alleviates some of my concerns. Okay. Some of it also is who the underneath those numbers.
So just so you know, we weigh everything. I mean, we weigh more stuff on our site than any other landfill I've ever seen, even stuff that's transferred from one portion of our facility to the other portion. So if we recover a mattress at the landfill, we're weighing it before it gets, I mean, everything is weighed on our site. And I get those reports every single month, and I review them every single month.
Okay, thank you.
And I also get a copy of all of the receipts.
And to add a little more history on this, and until this audit occurred by the state, we were under, I was of the understanding that the county was still operating the landfill. I have a letter on file written by Alan Abbs in early 2002, 2003. I had to pull it out when I met with the state, requesting to specifically be licensed as a waymaster, because at that time there was a pending or an existing lawsuit, and he wanted to keep accurate transactions. He wanted to do it in that methodology. So it's continued since Alan Abbs was the director of the landfill and requested to be licensed through the state.
I just have a question about the license, the waymaster license. Is there any benefits that would make it a requirement that we, you know, stand in for our current operator? That we would be required to have a license in order to sit in that scale house and do this. Are there any what-ifs that would require us to have a license? I mean, I don't even know what the right question is.
Municipalities are exempt from having to be licensed, but it's because you have a non-municipality issuing a statement of weight that the determination of payment is required is why they have to have a waymaster license. When the person that it is not paying the bill is not physically present, that's the only time that waymaster license would have to be issued to that facility.
And also to follow up on that, we would never operate the scales, and the reason being is that we can't muddy the waters between our operations and the agency due to prevailing wage laws, public works job laws. Many years ago, we had the agency was sued, as was Waste Connections, regarding whether or not the work that they do at the landfill is subject to public works regulations. And part of the finding was separation of duties, essentially. We are not involved in any way with operation of the landfill. That includes scale house operations. We oversee it all, and that's to ensure that we both stay in our lanes, right? We operate our hazardous waste facilities. We contract out operations, but we do certain portions. But that's a different contractor, and at this point in time, it wasn't part of landfill operations, so, yeah.
Thank you. So I had a motion, correct, by Director Parker, to not renew the agency's license, and a second by Director Dieters. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And we'll adjourn the meeting at 11:38.
Well, it's a bad one.